Many of the commentators Rashi has on Tosafot trace their quotation from Medrash Rabba. Once in a while Rashi will give a pshuta from Mikra, feeling that the Medrash Rabba is just using a drash, and he feels still obligated to give pshuta, and sometimes he's not even responding to that. It's not that he's trying to give pshuta from Mikra as opposed to the drash. He's just commenting. So one of those comments that Rashi gives on his own is the opening comment. On the first part, they didn't solve the Yitzchak and Avraham, Rashi writes, Yaka the Yisra Pamur in the Parsh. And the person don't understand what Rashi is writing at all. This is not a quotation from the Medrash. It's not that he's giving Pshuta as opposed to Medrash. But it's just simply coming from the first shot, no? How then would one interpret the Pshuta? They will tell the Yitzchak and Avraham. It's going to tell you about the descendants of Yitzchak. Yanker the Yitzchak, Hamur and Pash. The same is difficult, Rashi. They don't know exactly what Rashi is driving at. So I saw in two unrelated stories. I think one was a tribal, one was an Ashkenazi. Very unrelated. But at the end of Chai Yisrael, they told the Torah new story. They ever told us Yishmael ben Avraham. Eli Shmuel is going to say, Shmuel, this is all the names. And now this parasha begins, the Eli told us Yitzchak, and the Chachamim have a tradition, whenever it says Eli, both of us are Rishon, whenever it says the Eli, it's a Hemshech. Whenever it says the Eli, this is considered a Hemshech from what came before. So some want to say that that's what was bothering Rashi. At the end of Chai Yisrael, gives you a list of the descendants of Yishmael, it's not Jewish people. Over here, the Eli told the Yitzchak, so we left out. Like, we gave the history, we gave the biography of Avraham Avinu. And then we said, well, part of Avraham Avinu's family were God. Yishmael, so forget about that. And then we go, now we go Yitzchak. So we're going to go to the Jewish side of the family. But Avraham Avinu, he had Jews and non-Jewish children. Now we're going to go to Eli told the Yitzchak. So the question is, so if you say, Eli, both of us are Rishonim. At the end of Parshas Chayei Sarah is finished. Now we're going to continue with the Jews. Why did you say the Eli with Avraham? Rav Moshe Farin and Rishon, both parts of the Sarishan. The answer Rashi comes to say because Yitzchak also had two sons. He had one son who was a boy, one son who was a Jew. He had the Yankit and Esau. The Torah needs to say that just like Avraham was not Mitzvah Shleima, so the Yehlo told us Yitzchak was also, Yitzchak was not Mitzvah Shleima. The son of his children were Jewish, some were born. From Yankit on, that's when we have the concept of Mitzvah Shleima, that all the children that are born are Jewish. But yes, it's not sure. How can it be that a husband and a wife are both Jewish and then they have children, and some of the children are Jewish, some of them are good, and some of them are observant, some of them are not yet observant. They're like, well, some of them are not religious. They can't say some of them are not Jewish. How can you have that mitzvah Hashem? Of course they're all Jewish. But by Avraham and by Yitzchak, it was involved, it was possible. Some of them are not Jewish. But some of us should say that that's what the Rashi intended to explain. Why could the Eila, you shouldn't think that the end of Chai Yisrael is like a footnote to Jewish history as described by the Torah. And now we're going back to real Jewish history. No, still a hemshach of, we still have a taruvit of solas and eichelim solas again. Anyway, still a strange Rashi. But whatever they said, it's a strange Rashi. What exactly is Rashi driving on? The next Rashi is a quotation from the Medrash. Rashi comments, why does it say, the Medrash is comments. Eli told us Yitzchak, but Avraham, 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 Yitzchak. Mama should repeat. The second half of the passage is a repeat of the first verse. So the Medrash has that expression, the Beitzani Hador used to say, the Avimelech Nesabrach Dora. Shari Kamasham Shoah Sohim Avraham, she was married to Avraham for so many years. Everybody saw Avraham Halidah Yitzchak. So the Mephoshim have a lot of difficulty with this Medrash. First of all, why do we call these people the Leitoni Hadar? You call them the Rishoy. They're saying that the woman had a child from someone other than her own husband, that Yitzchak is a mountain. Why they just Leitoni Hadar? And the whole thing is a joke. Avraham Avinu did have a child. Avraham had a child from Hagar. He had Yishmael. Sarah didn't have any children. If the people thought Avraham was unable to, sometimes when you have a couple who don't have children, sometimes the problem is the husband, sometimes the problem is the wife. So what was over here? This Leishani Agav is saying, Avraham Avinu had a problem, he couldn't have any children. So that's why when she was living with Abimelech, he fathered the child. Avraham did have a child, obviously he was moved by the Torah had the problem conceiving. So when Torah has a baby, why don't people think that it's now Abimelech and suffer? So the Beis HaLevi has a famous comment on this. But he writes himself that the comment that he says appears in several other sources. Quite a few people have the same comment. He schmaltzes it up a little bit by giving a schmaltzy mashal. He says, the following. A few machabim say the following. It doesn't mean that the Leitani Hador was saying that Yitzchak was a mamzer. Melech Mishnah was the father of Yitzchak. No, they understood that Avraham Avinu was the father of Yitzchak. No, not Avimelech. They were saying that the only reason why Sarah lived so many years with Avraham is she didn't have any children. So obviously she wasn't Zeicher, she didn't deserve to have any children. She wasn't a Tzadeikah. But then when she was held in the home of Avimelech and she was let free, so it's like a Tzaita. That if people are kosher, that the Tzaita was Nizana, and then she goes through the procedure of drinking my mamar, and so the Torah promises the Nixor and Israel's are that she's going to have a baby. And even if she couldn't have any children before, this will be her foot, so she will be Zeicher that she will have baby. So that was the comment that the Leitani Hador used to say. They didn't say that May Abimelech and Sabbath Torah, that he's the father of the baby. They said in the course of the whole agony that she suffered, that she went through, that she was taken captive, and people thought in Yodea, what's happening there in the bedroom with Abimelech? The mind said nothing happened, but because of the Agnes Nefer, she was suffering and she went through, that's why she was like a father baby, and otherwise she wouldn't have had it. And the expression, the Abimelech, the Sabra Sora, the Beit HaLevi has this on. The other Sfarim who write this don't add this muscle, but he has it on in Yiddish, people would speak like this. In English, also in American, you think. Let's say a fellow became very wealthy by selling butter. That's his muscle. And then he goes and says, he became so wealthy, then he built, he goes into real estate, and he buys a lot of homes, he got so rich. He says, all these homes are built on butter. That's the way people say, homes are built on butter. These homes are built with butter. I can build homes with butter. No, it doesn't mean to be taken literally. It means from the riches that he amassed from being in the butter business, from being in the schmuck business, whatever. So that's the expression over here. The Abimelech, the Sabra star, doesn't mean literally that she became pregnant from Abimelech, that he is the father and she's the mother. No! Avraham Avinu was the father. Now the Melech means from the skus that she went through the story of being with Abimelech, so therefore the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, she really didn't deserve to have any child. Avraham did deserve. Avraham had. She had Yishmael, but she didn't deserve. So the skus that Sarah got, that she had a baby finally, wasn't a skus that's been like this Saita. And then how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu prove that it's not so? By making Sarah clock the pun of Daimler, how did that help? But he continued to interpret that as well. Anyway, it's a problematic Nevesh. It's not Rashi, it's a quotation from the Nevesh. Why would Tani Hador, and what are they saying? That Avraham was not the father of the baby? Yitzchak was married with his wife for quite a long time until she had a baby. According to Rashi's calculation, they were married 20 years before she had a baby. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, wife. When Avraham and Sarah were married for quite a while, they didn't have any children. So Sarah recommended that he should take Hagar as a wife. And Yaakov wanted to have more children, so he also took two Pilakshim. He took the Shvachas. But Yitzchak was married for 20 years. Why didn't he take himself a Pilegesh? Why didn't he take himself a Shivcha? So that's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash, that Yitzchak felt that he was an Eilat Nima, and he wasn't committed to take a Shivcha. What exactly does that mean? We don't know for sure. What do you mean? Yeah, special dinim regarding korbanos. One dinim of the korbanos, one of the dinim of the korbanos, we do understand. In the Parshas Chayisara, when Avraham Avinu wants to find a shidduch for Yitzchak, that he dresses with Eliezer Eben Avraham, Rakas Benigla Tash Hashama. You're not allowed to take my son to cook for it. And that he says, because Yitzchak was an Oila, and if you take the Oila outside of the Azara, it'll be just like if you take korbanos cooked in the Kaimon. If you go touch a kashim outside of the Azara, if you take kashim kaan outside of Yerushalayim, if you bring it back in,
can't be makriv it and you can't eat it, so too Yitzchak has the status of a korban olam. Normally this special din that a korban is Yitzchak b'yotze only applies after Shechita. If you're not Yitzchak korban, you didn't do the first Aveda yet, you didn't get the first base yet, you didn't do the first Aveda of Shechita, so then it's not Yitzchak b'yotze. Now you hear this was a Kiddush, but even though Yitzchak was never Yitzchak b'agabi hamiseya, nonetheless, and Avraham Avinu shechted the ayo that he found in the bush, so the shechita that he did on the ayo was considered as if it had been done to Yitzchak, and Yitzchak had the status of a korban after shechita that he can't be Yitzchak b'yotze. So somehow Avraham Avinu knew that, that Yitzchak was a korban after shechita and he would be Yitzchak b'yotze, so he insists Zachar Zinilo Tasha Shama. He's not allowed to take him there. That's the question. And then and after said, and Eliezer says, whether she doesn't agree to come to Eretz Yisrael, should I bring you some there? So he says, no, absolutely no. And then, v'nikisim ishwarti zot. So what does that mean? What's going to happen? What do you mean v'nikisim ishwarti zot? So that's my way, this Rashi in Pesach, in Kiddushin. What does it mean? So Rashi in Kiddushin, Rashi HaKum Meshoto Lohan Pshan, v'nikisim ishwarti zot. So then let him marry one of the daughters of Bar Rosh Hashanah. It was suggesting she didn't do an Eretz Yisrael. And Avraham Avinu didn't want, he doesn't want from the B'nai Taknan. He doesn't want to come to marry them. But if the girl from my family won't want to come, so then let him marry the B'nai Taknan and Ashkaman. So he says, how can it be? Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. That only says, how can it be? What do you mean he's going to let his son marry a Taknanit? Cannot be. So they say, no, then he can't tell me, he can't tell me, let my son go to Chutzlar. That is, he says, no, that's the Shumlai tonight. He's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. He's a carbon. They say, when he keeps him a shlossi, I may be square that he'll get a wife for my son, so he'll remain single. And those are going to be the Jewish people. So it means that Eliezer won't, Eliezer swore that he's going to see to it, that he's going to find a shidduch for Yitzchak. So he said, so he won't be bound by the shidduch, so don't look for a shidduch anymore. I said, the punish won't find a shidduch in Hashemayim. But it doesn't mean that he can go back to Chutzlot, and it doesn't mean that they should marry from the B'nai Taknan and Ashkenaz Mamre. So don't find him a Shidduch. So let him find his own Shidduch. Very unclear. So somehow Avraham Avinu knew this. The Yitzchak has the status of the korban after Shechita that he's missed from the earth. And Avraham Avinu insisted to Eliezer not to send him. And Yitzchak somehow also understood that he has the din of a korban oila, that's a tenoila tmima, that he's not permitted to marry a shifka. But if the Yitzchak didn't understand what Avraham Avinu understood, it says that he rob Oret, So Rashi interprets the pshat and the psukim that he was about to go down to Egypt. The pasuk sounds like that. Rav Hashem tells him, how dare it Mitzrayim? Don't do like your father Avraham did. Shkoyim Boret Hashem Amayim Lechus. Do Boret Hashem. Stay over here. So Rashi explains that he didn't realize that he's an Oyla Tzimim and he's not allowed to go to Chutzlar. What do you mean he didn't realize? That's why he didn't marry a Shikho for 20 years when his wife didn't have a baby. He realized that he was an Oyla Tzimim. That's why his father Avraham didn't let him go to Chutzlar because he was an Oyla Tzimim. What do you mean that Yitzchak didn't? Yitzchak was prepared to go from Mitzrayim like his father before him. And his father tells him, and today said, don't go, you're an Oyla Tzimim. He knew that already. So what was the status over here? A lesson means that Yitzchak said that he was an Oyla Tzimim, but he didn't know the other chelek, that it's like an Oyla Tzimim after Shechita. He thought that it was like Kedem Shechita. But Shechita wasn't done by him. He knew the father was Magdish and Akkad. His father said, Halei Hashem Le'ayla, you should be Magdish, your son Yitzchak is an Oyla. So he thought it was an Oyla Kedem Shechita. And Avraham sent Eliezer to Chutzlar. Maybe Yitzchak didn't fully understand all the conditions of the deal with Eliezer, the Shlichus. Maybe he thought that he is committed to go to Chutzlar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Megala to him here that he has the status of an Oyla La Hashchita. It's a little unclear if you put together all the three Midrashim. It's problematic. Anyway, the Sukkim say that, according to the way Rashi makes the calculation, for 20 years he didn't have any children. So he davened a lot, Vayeta Yitzchak Lashem. Vayeta is a machlokes in the Medrash, machlokes of Yechon and Reish Lakish. What the Pirush Amidus of Vayeta is. Rashi writes the Pashup Shat based on the Pasuk, Netoris Neshika Seine. Rashi calls the Pasuk Sanishma. When an enemy kisses you, things. Not only if he gives you 100 kisses is it annoying, even the first kiss is already miyuta. The first kiss is already too many. Natoras nashika sainen. If a friend kisses you, one kiss is not there. 100 kisses gets a little annoying. Not as enough. But an enemy kisses you, even the first kiss is annoying. Natoras nashika sainen. So here also, vayeta means hirba the tzila, he davened, kept on davening, iloshen ashiris. Vayeta is an Aramaic word. That's what Rabbi Yochanan understands. It's in the Medrash Rabba. Vayeta, atir benichsen, like you say, oshir. Oshir in Hebrew is atir in Aramaic. So vayeta yitzchok l'ashem means tispalo b'shefa, tispalo b'ashirin. And Reish Lakish in the Medrash, and in the Gemara in the Sukkah, in the first Torah, quotes Reish Lakish. The word esther is a pitchfork that the farmer will take to put over the hay. So here also, the word vayetar has nothing to do with ashiris, but it's rather when the tzaddikim daven, or when everyone davens, and the tzaddikim daven so the prayers stand a better chance of being answered, so their prayers are like a pitchfork that it can turn midas hadin into midas harachim. The midas hadin was nigzaran yitzchok and yitzchok that they shouldn't have any children, that he these are two different interpretations. What it says in Rashi, what it says in the Gemara Sukkah, represents the machlokes, the two pshatim appear in the Medrash Rabba. Whether Vayeta Yitzchak is the Russian Netaras Meshika saying in the Yuta, here the Betrila, he davened a lot, here the Betrila, or it's the Russian Efter in the sense of a pitchfork. It's interesting, why do they have to daven so much? By Avram also, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzaveh to Tzilas Meshul Tzadik, and that's why he calls over the Gemara to be Akara. Zara was an Akara, Yisra was an Akara, and Rachel was an Akara, all three were Akara. The Maggid has a touch on the topic in next week's sentence. It says, Akara. So he says, why does it say, Vayistach HaShrachma? Normal women have children. It should say, then it says, Rachel Akara. It should say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused Rachel to be an Akara. It sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Leah a Yosef in HaKlav. Yitzchak HaShrachma, he caused it that she should be able to have children. And Rachel remained in a natural state that all women are in, that she's not able to have children. The normal natural state is that all women are able to have children. It's unnatural that a woman is unable. It's unnatural that a woman, most women are fertile. A meal that women can't have. So the Dubna Magid, I think, has that touch. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted all the four emotes to be Akaris, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzvah 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 Tzadik, because Vayar Hashem Kisnu Aleah, so he felt Rachmanis for Leah, so he gave her a break. He made her a Yetzim in Akla Legab the emotes. So Vayitzvah Hash Rachma, she was a Yetzim in Akla, that she really should also be in Akaris, so she was one of the four emotes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an exception to the rule of Gadi Leah, not an exception to the rule. All women are naturally able to give birth. She was an exception to the rule, but Gabi the Dalit was. Vayar Hashem Kisnu, Vayiftach HaShrachma, the Rachel Akar, Rachel remained in Akar, like she should have been, like all the Emorites are supposed to be Akar. So you find by Aram Avinu, he was Mispalel, and Yankov is also Mispalel, Yankov is Mispalel. You don't find that they're Mispalel, here's the Betzila. What's that something by Yitzchak, Vayetar? And Rashi quotes that interpretation from the Medrash of Yetan and Pshat, here's the Hitz of Betzila. Why do they have to be Marga Betzila? I saw the name of Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, an interesting comment. Rashi quotes another Medrash, that Yitzchak died at the age of 180 and Avraham Avinu died at the age of 175. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that really Avraham Avinu deserves to live also 180 years, the same as Yitzchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a chesed with Avraham Avinu and he caused him to die 5 years earlier. A lot of times today, when the doctors are able to extend life, so sometimes the children or the doctors have a machlokes amongst themselves, are they really accomplishing anything when you extend a person's life and he doesn't enjoy living? So some people feel, what kind of lama lichaim, they'd rather die, and other people feel, no, they have a firm attitude that to live on another 5 minutes is such an important inyan. Even though you're suffering, you don't enjoy life at all, it's a richtig inyan. So the Medrash says not so. The Medrash says, so the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed with the people that he gives them life, and sometimes the Bansham does even a better chesed that he takes us away from our life, but we don't have to suffer so much. So the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away Avraham Avinu 5 years before the age of 180 because he would have had such aggravation from seeing that Esav had gone to the Tavis Ruach. Yankov and Esav were little children, for the first 15 years of their lives and wasn't so conspicuous while we were going. The Medrash says till the age of 13, and really if you go to the calculation, that actually is really till the age of 18. The Medrash has on the part of Yayim Zulu Hanron, Ahi Yisavish, Yadea Tzaydish, Sodav Yankiv Yisam Yoshe Baham, Pasuk Chavazayim. So that's the famous Medrash that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch on that part. Chavman, the children are little, so they both go to Cheder and they learn, and then they both go with the father to shul, and it's not so noticeable what the difference is between the two of them. And then when they become bar mitzvah, you can do on Arim, so each one goes his own way. They either go to the Bati Avodah Zarah, to the movie theaters, whatever, it's yours. I think the Medrash puts it together. The movies with the Avodah Zarah. I guess the movies with the Avodah Zarah movies. And Yankee goes to the Bais Medrash. He doesn't go to the movies, he doesn't go to the secular studies, he doesn't go to the Avodah Zarah, just Kula Kedish. So the Medrash says, and that's why the father should say, when the child becomes a mitzvah, what do you mean, that's why? The whole medrash is a fellow. That's the medrash that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Some Rishonim quoted the medrash, if we don't have that gear, some Rishonim have the gear to medrash, and say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Otenim Alach Ha'olam, Shepatranim Yom Shuzay, Yisei Bar Hashem Malchus. And the Ramah and the Darkei Moshe, and the bottom of the tour, as well as the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, and the end of Hilchos Brachot, and has all the miscellaneous Brachot, says that since the Brach is not mentioned in the Gemara, so it's not proper to say Hashem Malchus. We don't want to add on additional Brachas that don't appear in the Gemara. The Gemara God also says like that. We don't want to add on Brachas that don't appear, but it just has to appear printed in the Talmud. Bodily, obviously this Brach existed in the days of the Gemara, because it appears in the Bereishis Rabbah. The Bereishis Rabbah is the oldest of the Midrashim. The others were composed in later generations. The Bereishis Rabbah was in the Kufas HaMaroi. So what's the Brach of the Zman HaGemara? We don't have any Gemara of Baruch Shama. But obviously the Baruch HaShem existed in the Zman HaGemara, because if they said L'Chayot, they said Yishtabach at the end, the Rishami doesn't speak about Yishtabach. Rishami speaks about Chayzun Niyoche HaMalcham, HaSof Ben Yishtabach Liyad Zeror. Rishami says that there's a Machleg B'chat HaHayim in Sveto, it says in the Chumash, Kisha Yorah V'Rach HaLevah, you don't take him into the army. So what do you mean Yorah V'Rach HaLevah? The first pshat is that he's a nervous fellow. He won't be able to fight, he won't be able to be ended in the Kishvi HaMachama. And then it's Anray Mara, and not only is that the Pshat, if he's a Yorid Me'averi Shabiyod, if he's a Baba Beira, he can't take him into the army. He can only take him to the army Hezabur, religious force. If the guy's not religious, then we're not going to win the war in his foot. So there's a Machlegis HaTanayim, Igmar has a Machlegis HaTanayim, the end of Perach Mashof Muhammad. What if the fellow is very careful? He's very selective in which Yisurim he violates. He's only in the doctor to violate only the Rabbanon. He doesn't want to violate any Yisurim Derayt. So do you accept him in the army or not? On the level of Derayt, he has no Averis of the other. But on the level of the Rabbanon, he has Averis of the other. So you take him or not. So the Gemara claims that that's a Machlekes HaTanan. The Machlekes in the Mishneh, in the end of Perek Mashiach Muhammad is very unclear. It's an obscure Machlekes HaTanan. We're not sure exactly what they're fighting that. The Gemara says that's the Machlekes HaTanan. So Yishami gives an example of an Issa de Rabbanon. What's an example of the Yisra Rabban? And a person is mastic in the middle of the davening, then Yishtabach liyotzeron. If the person talks there, that's only an Yisra Rabban, it's not an Yisra Raisin, so that would be a Machlokes HaTanayim, whether you accept him in the army or not. So the Brach of Yishtabach is mentioned in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So obviously it exists. Talmud Yerushalmi was before the Talmud Babylon, the first generation, the second generation of Amalek. Baruch Shem is not even mentioned in the Gemara, but we assume if they said Yishtabach at the end, somebody said Baruch Shem in the beginning, Alfi Tashlis, and we assume that even though Baruch Shem is not mentioned, that it exists in the Zman HaGemara. So the Keteda that the Rishonim have not to add on any more brachas doesn't mean you don't, that any bracha that doesn't appear in the Gemara. No, it means any bracha that didn't exist in the days of the Tanaim and Amarim, we're not allowed to, we don't have the Koyach to compose new brachas in the Zman HaGemara. But a bracha that exists in the Zman HaGemara, even if it doesn't appear in the Gemara, is okay, but Baruch Shama is not mentioned in the Gemara, but we know that they said Baruch Shama, so why did not he did? That's what the Gemara Kohen Tainus. He doesn't understand why so many people following the Shitas HaRamor, not to say the Shem HaMalchus on Baruch Shepatrani, because it's not mentioned in the Gemara, but obviously it did exist in the days of the Gemara. Okay, that's the Shaila. So the Medrash has this kind of a Yigdu Hanorim, that at the age of Bar Mitzvah, a Yigdu, Loshim Gedolim, a cousin is before Bar Mitzvah, God was after Bar Mitzvah. So when it became Bar Mitzvah, then it became noticeable, he went to the Beit HaMedrash to learn, and he went to the Bati Avodah Zarah and to the theaters. So the Pashtus is that this happened at the age of 13. So the Bali Yafes is the Rishonim already yes, Achreinim yes, the Rishonim yes. It's not correct, because according to the calculation that Rashi makes, it happened at the age of 15. Actually, maybe the whole chesed, when Avraham Avinu died 5 years earlier, then maybe she could. Avraham Avinu died 5 years earlier than he should have. He died at 175 instead of 180. Notice that he shouldn't have the Agmas Nefesh from Esav that he would go to the Tavis Ruah. So the Parsha Pshat is the first 2 years, between the age of 13 and 15, he was doing about Averis Betzina. It wasn't so conspicuous. It takes a while for the grandfather to hear the bad news that his son is going to the Tavis Ruah. So the Parsha Pshat is that it's not a kash. But the Medrash has that comment on that tradition that they had. There, Avraham Avinu died 5 years earlier than he should have died. He says Chazal on the time that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a chesed with people. A chesed that's sometimes greater than granting life is that the person should die a little earlier. So it's Yitzchak and Rivka, so Rabbi Yitzchak and Jonathan have this time. Yitzchak and Rivka were unable to have any children, and it's going to be misbalanced after his brother that they should have children, and then one of the children is going to be able to the Tabbat Shavuot at the age of 15, and after his brother is going to cause Avraham Avinu to die earlier, so he's going to die at the age of 170. Like this, he would have lived to 175, but because Yitzchak was misbalanced, he wanted to have children earlier, so the twins were born earlier, and when they reached the age of 15, because Baruch Hu caused Avraham Avinu to die, then he shouldn't have aggravation. They died 5 years early. And if he would have had children earlier, Avraham Avinu would have lost more years from his life. But that's what the pasuk said. That's what they quote from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Tzadok. But yet by Yitzchak, he had to be mispalo very hard for this, because this tefillah affected other people in a negative way. Because of his tefillahs, sometimes a person has to go to Shalom, he wants panasa, he wants a shidduch, he wants happiness, he wants a job, he wants a seichel, so it doesn't affect other people. Why not? Because the Baruch Shalom is going to give. But sometimes if I ask for money, the money is going to come from someone else. So I'm going to get rich at someone else's expense. But if you dive very hard, so sometimes you can break the Gzeirah Min HaShamayim, and the Baruch Shalom will even listen to you to grant your wish, even at the expense of someone else. Like the Gemara says, that you're allowed to get married even on Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to do Nisuin, you're not allowed to do the second stage of marriage in the 9 days, but just to do Erusin alone is Musa in the 9 days, and even on Tisha B'Av, so the Gemara says, why? Because if you won't get married, you may lose your chance. Shem Yikad Menu Acher, someone else may marry the girl. So the Gemara says, how can that be? But we know, the Gemara asks in the end of my cousin, we know that it's Nikra Min HaShamayim, who's going to marry him? So the Gemara says, no. If the other person doesn't hard, he can break the Gzera Min HaShamayim and cause me to lose the girl that I was supposed to get. Min HaShamayim, they were very good, I should marry this attractive, wonderful girl with all the milas. And if you daven hard enough, you can steal my girlfriend. You can get the girl from under my nose. So that's what happened over here. That's why it's Vayeta Yitzchak. Avraham Avinu daven, and Rabbi Shalom gave him children from the Torah. And Yaakov Avinu daven, and he had his children, even though his wife started off as an Atorah. Rachel and Leah, they both started off as Atorah. They davened, and their prayers were answered. But here, Yitzchak had to be here with the tefillah, because his prayers, in order that they should be answered, affected negatively Avraham Avinu, the Haina, that he died 5 years earlier. So if a person is mad at the tefillah, he can sometimes even accomplish that. He can get a favor, which is really a ruah for somebody else. Rashi on this pasuk quotes Medrash. My impression is he's always quoting the verse of the Medrash. It says, "Vayyasa lo Hashem ataharis v'rishto." So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, "Vayyasa lo 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 lo." And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the prayers of Yitzchak and not the prayers of Rivka, because in the Dem it's Tzadik ben Tzadik, but still Tzadik ben Rasha, v'sichach lo lo. The Loi Law. His prayers ran. This is the Rashi, that this is the institution that's going to Siddush Rebbe, that he should be mispalled to you. He's a Rebbe, and his father was a Rebbe, and his grandfather was a Rebbe, so the Tzilo Vatari Ben Tzadik, if you assume that he's a Tzadik. Tzilo Vatari Ben Tzadik stands a better chance of being answered than the prayers of Stam Tzadik Ben Rasha. So I think this Medrash should be read in connection with the Medrash on the opening part. Mefarshim ask on this medrash. So don't ask the question, shouldn't a tzaddik ben rasha, who's a baal tshuva, have bigger kusis? One who's a tzaddik ben tzaddik was brought up in a religious home. that came naturally to him, Shmiras HaMitzvot, but the one of the Tzadikim Rasha, all of the people in his community, Allah Dravan HaArami, the Medrash says, they were all fakers, they were all liars, they were all cheaters. And Rivka came out from such a bad community, and she became a Tzadik, so doesn't she deserve more credit than Yitzchak? So shouldn't her prayers be answered more? So the Mefarshim have to seem to understand the following. If a person is a Baal Tshuva and he's stuck on a higher Madrega of Yirush HaMayim, which many times will be the case, the Baal Tshuva is on a higher Madrega of Avodah Hashem Yirush HaMayim, then the one who is brought up in a religious home and he's naturally religious and he's not so intense in his religious observance, if he's going to daven better, his prayers are going to stand a better chance of being answered. We're talking about two people who are davening with the same degree of religious intensity. They're both equally observant. And they're both davening with the same kavana. But then the Medrash says, Anachanami, if you have a Tzadik ben Rosho, and he's on a higher Madrega of Yerush HaMayim, so his prayers will be more intense. Avada has a better chance that his prayers will be answered than the Tzadik ben Tzadik. So just davening like a mitzvah on Hashem and Mother. It doesn't pay so much attention to the davening. We're talking they're both davening very intensely. They're both very medactic in everything. So then we assume that the prayers of the Tzadik ben Tzadik stand a better chance of the answer, to be answered. Why? Because the Medrash on the first pasuk, the problem that Rashi, from the Rashi quotes in the Medrash, the difficulty that the Medrash discussed, it is called Yitzchak Avraham Avraham Hadar Yitzchak. Yitzchak Mamish repeat. The second half of the pasuk is repeated in the first half. What is the pasuk driving at? So the Medrash has several comments. One of them is what Rashi said about the Leitzanei Hador. Then the Medrash has another comment. Another Amora has a comment that. They go speaking from Mishle and from Phil, different parts of Tanakh, that when a baby is born, so the father is always very excited, the parents are very happy. When the baby later on grows up, every parent loves all of his children. But then, when the child grows up and he learns Torah, so then the Medrash quotes the pasuk that says, Chacham b'ni, arkein nismachli b'gamoni. I'm Chacham lidecho, I'm Chacham b'ncho. There are a few psukim like that, that if the child learns Torah, so then the father is even more excited about that. So the Medrash says on the pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves all the human beings. Like the Medrash says, when the stream was drowning in Yam Suf, so Bikshu Malach HaShem Elohim Ashir, they were very happy over the fact that the Rishonim were having a Mapola, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them all this, that he doesn't want them to sing Shira, to praise him. Masa Yadisav Mayam Yatmam Shira, that's not right that they should sing Shira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves all human beings, but he says he needs the Chari Yisrael. He loves the Jewish people more than he loves. Sometimes the parent has a favorite child, sometimes it's not right to have a favorite child, but sometimes they do. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he needs the Chari Yisrael. He loves the Jewish people more than he loves the human animal. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu has another Madrega. When you have Avraham Hailu Yitzchak, when you have a Tzadik is born, when it's a Talmud Chacham, not only is a human being, a father who's a boss of Adam, is happier. And he loves his child, he loves Torah more than his other children, but the pasuk says, Achini is machlidi gamoni, so the Medrash is magos from the word gam, that it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happier over the tzaddikim than he is over the other people. And when it's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves that person even more than the other. So that's the pashtus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he loves a tzaddik ben tzaddik more than a plain tzaddik, so that's why the prayers of a tzaddik ben tzaddik stand a better chance of being answered than those of a plain tzaddik. Because he loves them more. So that's like a favorite child. So his request seems a better chance of being in. That's the pashtus over here. The Midrashim used the exact same expression. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves the Tzadik ben Tzadik more so than the Tzadik ben Rosh Hashanah. The first pasuk and on this pasuk, Vayet Allah Hashem. That's perhaps why when we daven, we open up the davening with Elokeinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We want to recall to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are maybe Tzadikim, maybe Ben Tzadikim. Maybe it's a tzaddik ben tzaddik, so that the Rebbeinu Shlomo should answer our prayers more so than the prayers of a tzaddik ben something other than a tzaddik. Maybe that's why we mentioned this close service in the beginning. Why? Because it should be a tefillah tzaddik ben tzaddik. The Medrash has a startling comment on the pasuk. Adam Yom Kein Loma Zeh Anochi, that Zeh the gematria is Yud Beit. Somehow the Moors had heard already that there's a Nevuah. Did they hear the Nevuah? They heard from earlier generations that they're going to be Yud-Bei Shvatim. So she had such pain from the pregnancy, the matter says that she went around asking other pregnant women, this is what you always go through, this is it. So they all described what it's like, and she said, that's what she has also. And then, so she was calmed down a little bit, okay, that's what all the pregnant women go through. And then she said, and I'm going to have 12 of these. She's going to have Yud Bei Shvatim. She said, please, Mama Zonechi, I have to have Yud Bei Shvatim. So there are midrashim that say that she was punished, that the Rebbe Shlomo really wanted to bring the Yud Bei Shvatim from Yitzchak and Rivka. But because she complained, so she lost her schus, and that's why he was given over to Yankel Avin. Yankel Avin had it from four wives, not from one wife. According to this marriage, the original plan was that the 12 Shvatim were going to be born from her, from Rivka. And then it was changed to the 12 Shvatim were born for four wives. It's a little easier. Rashi quotes the Medrash on the Pasuk, "V'hinei tzamun v'zitna," that the word is chaser. The word is a double chaser. There are a lot of comments that the Midrashim have. A lot of times it's not kibbutz. There are many comments in the Midrashim that are based on the fact that you have a mole and a chaser. So this is one of them, that there's a double chaser here. It should have been written tz'omim, tz aleph vav mem yud mem. So you have the aleph is missing, tz'omim, and you have the final yud is missing. Spelled men men, does he spell men yud men? The Rashi quotes in the Medrash that there was a chisaron over here, it was incomplete. When when Tamar was pregnant with Ta'omim, Ubitama Ta'omim Malay, Rashi quotes with Sishishnaim Tzadikim, Eretz and Zerach. And over here, only one was a Tzadik, one was a Rosh. The Medrash has a comment on a pasuk later also, Hakol Kol Yankif, Ayadani Deyesel. Yankif came in to get the brachas, and Yitzchok couldn't figure out what's going on. The voice is that of Yankis, but when he felt his arms, it felt like Esau. So the Medrash has to come. That happens to Yitzchok Mechotza, how cold. It's this self Kuf Laman, instead of Kuf Rav Laman. Normally called it self Kuf Rav Laman, but it's spelled how cold Kuf Laman. So the Medrash has a comment, and the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Medrash, I don't know, on the bottom of the Medrash, there's a commentary that's called Rashi. I don't know if it's Rashi, whatever. Very state Rashi. And the other Mepharshim always quotes as Rashi. On the bottom of the big Medrashim, they always quotes as Rashi, like a Rashi. I don't know. I wonder. Maybe it is Rashi. So this, and this Pirush Rashi, and that sits on the Medrash, he claims that the Medrash is darshaning from the fact that it's written Chassid. The Medrash says, Hakol Kol Yankis, Hayadayin Yidei Eitor. Yidayin Yidei Eitor, we're only Sholei Tabanei Yisrael when the Jewish people don't learn well enough or they don't daven well. And we have Kol Kol Yankiv, and our Kol Terah, and our Kol Tzila strong, then Yidayim Deyesev are not Sholet on us. But when are they Sholet? When our learning is Shvach and our davening is Shvach, when it's a Kol Nomuch. So where do you see that in the Pasuk? Adarab, it says, our Kol Kol Yankiv, that the Jews are screaming and davening and learning, and still our Yidayim Deyesev. It seems to be just the opposite from the way the Pasuk reads. So this Pirush Rashi, which is quoted by several of the other Mefarshim on the bottom of the Medrash, says because the drush is from the word akol, that it's chaser. So that's why the Medrash Rabbah has an expression, when the kol is a kol namuch, because since it's a kol chaser, and the pasuk is a chaser, so that's why we talk kol kol yankev, when it's only a kol chaser, then hayadayim deyesev. If it would have been a kol malay, then it would have been ein hayadayim deyesev. One of the other Mefarshim on the bottom of the page has a different explanation, though, that could comment that the Medrash is based on a different interpretation of the Vav. Akol Kol Yankiv Zeha Yadani Deyetov Zeh means Oze Oze. Akol, either you have Akol Kol Yankiv or you have Hayadani Deyetov. The Pshutish Amikra Yitzchak is saying, I can't figure out what's going on. Kol Yankiv, Hayadani Deyetov is our spirit. They say that both. So, and according to this level of Drash, they're understanding the Vav of the Vav of Zeha Yadani, as if it were written, oh, oh, I got done. It's either called Yankov or it's Yidayim Deyesev. There are many other psukim where the Chachamim darshan things, like there's the Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim, quotes a comment from the Teresh Kehanim. Kedoshim Yud, Kedoshim Tihi Yud, Kikadosh Ani Hashem Elokechem. The Rashi says, Kedoshim Yud, Yochol Kamoni, maybe you should be able to reach the same, maybe human beings can attain the same level of Sushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amalonik HaKadosh Ani, Sushasi L'mayla Mitzushatken. What's the Havamina, what's the Maskon is a different problem, what is it driving at? Where do you see this in the Pasuk? I don't know, it says Kadosh Mitzil HaKadosh Ani. You should be Kadosh because I'm a Kadosh, you should be on the same level of Sushas. Where does the Tanoim see in the Pasuk that Yohol Kamon, Kamaloni, that it's not going to be Kamoni? The Gemara Parshim explained that that's also based on the Mali and Chaser. Kedosh and Tiyu is written Chaser. Kuf, Dalet, Shin, Yudmem. Without a Vav. Ki Kadosh Ani, Hashem Elokeichem is spelled with a Vav. Kuf, Dalet, Vav, Shin. Ki Kadosh Ani. But that's how the Tanoi knew that Kedusha Tiyu Maile Mit Dushaskan. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect of us that we should attain the same level of Kedusha that he has. That's why one is written Mali, one is written Chaser. There was a Rav in Germany before the Second World War, St. Kolod, all states on this time. All of the Mollies and Chassids in Tanah, that the Chachamim were darshaning. Some of them we know that they're darshaning, and most of them are hidden drushes that we don't realize, but that's the whole purpose of his whole book. Molly and Chassid in Tanah. Forgot the name of the author. It's by Yekish Sharon. Medrash has a very interesting comment on the pasuk. Hayom yach michroch hayom es b'chayros kali. Michroch hayom es b'chayros. A very difficult pasuk, just a pshuto shalmikva. So the Medrash has a comment which is clearly not intended to be the pshuto shalmikva, which is a drasha. The pasuk says, Elav shan me'anachah ki yom esmo. That when the pasuk speaks of yom, it's referring to 1,000 years. That Yankov and Esav divided the world between the two of them. They divided the Olam Hazeh. Rashi says they divided Olam Hazeh for Esav and Olam Habah. That's one medrash that Rashi quotes. Then there's another medrash that Rashi does not quote. It has a fascinating comment based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that the world will last for 6,000 years, whatever that means. That's problematic. Shidah Peshnin Hadi Alma. The world will last for 6,000 years. The last 2,000 years, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Avodah Zarah, starting from the year 5000, it was already a long time ago, Shnei Alokim is Yemos HaMashiach. The first 2,000 years is total. And from the year 2000 to the year 4000, Shnei Alokim total. And from the year... From till the year 2000, till the year 2000 is total. From the year 2000 till the year 4000 is Torah, and from the year 4000 till the year 6000 is Yemos HaMashiach. What I mean is, it's possible for Mashiach to come. It's possible. It's already, we're already well into the, it's already after the year 5000. So Mashiach could have come theoretically over 1,000 years ago. That's how the Gemara says. The Gemara has that lush in the first paragraph of the Zohar. We're already deep into those 2,000 years that Mashiach could have come. They still have some coffee. Come on, Daf Yud. That's the Medrash Rabbah has such a comment that Yankov and Esav divided the world for the last 2,000 years, from the year 4,000 to the year 6,000, should have belonged to Yaakov, that the Jewish people should be sholeh on the world. And now Yaakov was requesting of Esav, Michra Yom, sell me another 1,000 years from your year. Yom is referring to 1,000 years. So he asked him, sell me 1,000 years from the first 4,000 that you shouldn't be shalit on us. The Medrash says that they clinched the deal. And if you'll calculate, you see that the Jews lived in peace for 1,000 years before the year 4,000 when the Goyim were not shepherding them. And the last 2,000 years is supposed to also be come. The year 4,000 is supposed to be come. That is, doesn't make the calculation about that. That's the assumption. That's given. So the year 4,000 is the Moshe HaMashiach and that's supposed to shepherd the Jews. And before the year 4000, Yankov requested Michro Kayom is B'charat Chavi. How do they interpret the rest of the pasuk? They don't explain. They just say Yom, that Yom is referring to 1,000 years. I don't know, you have to figure out how the rest of the words fit in. So it says that when Yitzchak was an Eretz Plishtim, an Eretz Gerar, Ayiz Vayitzchok Barat Ahirim Sabashan Himeyashan Vayvarachehu Hashem. He got 100 times as much tzvua as he expected to get. Even though it was an Oret Kasha and it was a Shana Kasha, it was a year of famine and it wasn't inside of Eretz Yisrael, nonetheless, he was blessed. Koshken, he had brokers when he was planted in Eretz Yisrael. Koshken, if it wouldn't have been a year of famine. Why was he calculating to see how rich he would become so that he noticed that he had 100 times as much? But the Medrash of the Kasha, we know we have a tradition. The Gemara has it mentioned in several places that the brokers are only Sherman HaShamayim when you don't count. When a person is stingy and he keeps on counting every single penny, so the bracha is not called on the bracha should lead the mishkol the shemininya. The Gemara says it's better not to keep on counting your money so much. But the Gemara says, the Medrash says, no, you had to make a calculation over here. Rashi quotes it, Rabbi says, Omru, Omidzeh l'maisus tayo. You had to calculate how much maisus he was going to give. But this was the special mitzvah that Yitzchok Avinu fulfilled over and above what Avraham Avinu fulfilled. And the Rambam quotes the Medrash Rabbah, several Rishon quotes this Medrash Rabbah, each one has a slightly different girsa. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Malachim, that the Ribbono Shel Olam originally gave 6 mitzvahs to Adam and Rishon. He didn't, the Shevet mitzvah B'nei Noach, known as B'nei Noach, because Eved and Achai wasn't given to Adam and Rishon, because according to this view that the Rambam is quoting, Adam and Rishon wasn't permitted to eat any meat. So what's that? Eved and Achai is not allowed to eat any meat anyway. He had to be a vegetarian. Animals, but any other time, he's not permitted to eat Eben Menachai. That's why he called it the Shevet Mitzvah B'nei Noach, because the 6 of them existed by Adam and the 7th one, namely the Eben Menachai, was only added on after the novel. So the Rambam writes, that's where the world was going on for a few generations. Adam and had 6 mitzvahs, Noach was given the 7th mitzvah, Shevet Mitzvah, until the days of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was given another mitzvah Mila, Yitzchak had another mitzvah Hifrish Maitris, this passage. Near Shorim, Hifrish Maisris, and Yankel Vina was given another mitzvah of Gid Anosha. Gemara has a Machlokes Tanaim in Chulin where the Gid Anosha was given to Bnei Yaakov, whether the mitzvah existed to Tzedim Adin Torah, or was only given at Har Sinai. So the Pasha Pshat, the way Taisus went, the Pasha Pshat in the Mishnah in the Gemara is that it's a historical Machlokes. How do you read the Pasha? I came to Yom Menezos, Gid Anosha, whether the mitzvah was given right after that incident that Yankiv had the fight with the Malach, Malach broke his leg, in order to remember that story, so the mitzvah of Gid Anosha was given at that time, or no. It's written in the Chumash right after that story, but the mitzvah wasn't given until many generations later, and the reason it's written here is we should know what the background of the mitzvah is. So that's the Pashup Shat in the Imam. The Rambam has a long essay in the Tirush HaMishnayis on Chulin where he explains otherwise. He says, no, this is sure. The Medrash Rabbah says on the Pesukim, Yaakov Avinu was given the additional mitzvah of Gid Anosha. Machlokes HaTanaim is a different thing. Why are we today bound to observe that mitzvah of Gid Anosha? Is it because the mitzvah was given to Yaakov Avinu and it was binding on all future generations? Or should we assume, no, that the only time something is binding on future generations is if it's given, if it was repeated at Har Sinai. And that's the opinion that we accept. And the Rambam adds on. And why do we perform Bris Milah today? Also is up there in the Tirush HaMishnayis. Not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. Given to Avraham Avinu is not binding for the future generation. The only one who was given mitzvah was Moshe Rabbeinu. Eila mitzvah shel tzid Hashem is Moshe b'Har Sinai. Avraham Avinu was a Navi. He's only given a Harasha. Harasha for a couple of generations that he and his descendants should perform the Bris Milah. But why are we today, so many generations later, why are we today still bound to observe the mitzvah of Milah? Not because it was given to Avraham Avinu, but rather the Rambam writes it's because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, who was given Torah mitzvahs, which means, by definition, the mitzvahs that are binding throughout all the future generations. So Leshi once commented on this Medrash Rabbah that the Rambam is quoting. What is the significance of making this fact? To give the history of the world. He has to fit it in with the rest of the history. The other Marishim was given 6 mitzvahs, and the was given the 7th mitzvah of Eved and Achai, after the Lutut to eat meat. And then Avraham was given a mitzvah, Mila, Yitzchok was given a mitzvah of Maitris, and Yankov was given a mitzvah of the Ravid asked the Kasha on that Rambam. It's really a Kasha on the Medrash Rambam. The Ravid asked on the side of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. What does the Rambam write? That the first one who was Mafrish Maitris was Yitzchok. But it says in this week's Sefer, 2 weeks ago, it says when Avraham Avinu had the war with the 3 kings, with the 4 kings, And Avraham Avinu won the war. So the Pasuk says that after he won, he gave Ba'itan Ma'isa Nikot. He met Malki Tzedek Marashon and he gave him Ma'isa. So what do you mean that Yitzchak was the first one who was Ma'afish Ma'isa? Since the Torah says that Avraham Avinu gave Ma'isa. So the Advad on the side of the Rambam explains the Rambam Shad, explains the Medrash. It's not really Rambam. Explains the Medrash that the Rambam is quoting, that the Ma'isa that Avraham Avinu gave was Ma'isa Ksofim. He donated his Ma'isa Ksofim to Malki Tzedek Marashon at a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Where are all the yeshivas in Yerushalayim? And the Medrash has that the Malki Tzedek Marashon was Shem. They have the yeshivas, that's according to the tradition, they have the yeshivas Shem Yeber. And the original comment of the Sifrei on the Pasuk, Aseti Ases Kotvah Zarah, Ayoti Aser Lashon Hashonon, that's the Pasuk in Parshas Re'ei, so the Sifrei has a comment, why did it say twice, Aseti Aser? So it's in Tainus, quotes from Daf Yad Aleph. And then it says in the Gemara, the Dinin Yidam Isaac stuff, so it's in Tainus, quotes from this Sifrei. Aseti Aser, the Zabaloshin, is not the even Ma'isik stuff. The Pshuta Shalmikra, I said, called Zuazarach, Yotzar Shanashan, those are Ma'isik Mishan that you give to the Zim. Where do you see that you have to give Ma'isik stuff? And so it's in the extra worthy Aser. So the Radvaz writes that the Ma'isik Ma'isik Nikol, that the Ma'isik that Avraham Avinu gave to Malkin Tzedek was given to support the Yeshiva, because the Lashon of the Sifrei, the Ramban Chumash quotes that on Re'ei. The Lashon of the Sifrei, Aser Tasers Mikan, that a person should give Ma'isik Tzof from the Lomdei Torah. That's the original comment. Today people give, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. You give Ma'isik Tzof him during the course of the year. You give donations to shuls and to yeshivas and to hospitals and everything all adds up together to be Ma'isik Tzof. But the original comment that the Sifrei made was that one should give Ma'isik Tzof from the Lomdei Torah. So those who are learning to yeshivas. So that's what Avraham Avinu did. He told Ma'isik Nikol. He gave his Ma'isik Tzof him. So Shem Benech, why do yeshivas? In Yerushalayim, like it said in Melech Shalem, in Yerushalayim. And here, that Yitzchak was here for Shmaisa, this is the real Maisa. It's not some Maisa, so Maisa itself has nothing to do with Maisa, that's Zaken. And the Rambam understands that this is real Maisa. So what's the significance of this veracious rabbi that the Rambam quotes? That Avraham Avinu was given a mitzvah of Mila, Yitzchak was given the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Maisa, and Yaakov was given a tzivuyah of Giran Asher. What's the significance of that? So they thought that what the Medrash and the Rambam are driving at in the following, that the Sukkim indicate us that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a Kriyas Bris with Avraham, and another Kriyas Bris with Yitzchak, and a third Kriyas Bris with Yaakov, and a chassid Kriyas Bris with Yitzchak, and Avraham Eskel, or Kadosh Baruch Hu, he said he made a separate Bris many times, he made a Bris. The Chorah Bris means that he's endowing them with a Kedushas Yisroel. So what do you mean they have a Kedushas Yisroel? Kedushas Yisroel means by definition Kiddushan with the Toys of the Sivan. Kedushas Yisroel means that you're Mechuyim the Mitzvah. So Avraham Avinu was, he made a Bris with Avraham Avinu, he gave him a Kedushas Yisroel, he gave him an additional Mitzvah that didn't exist before the days of Avraham Avinu, namely the Mitzvah of Mila. But what was with Yitzchak, what was with Yankis? So that's why the Medrash has to find some, at least one Mitzvah, some additional Mitzvah that each one of the others was given. That it should make sense why Kodesh Baruch Hu made another bris with each one of them. Why gave each one of them more of a Kedushas Yisroel than the one before had? That was Rav Soloveitchik's interpretation, that Avraham Avinu had a partial Kedushas Yisroel. And the Shlomo HaMelech wrote a Sefer on Drush that's called Parashas Drachim. Separate Sefer. So he has one essay, the first two essays. And the Sefer are the most famous, when he speaks about the topic that the Ramban has on Chumash. In the end of Parshas Emor, the last Ramban has a machlokes with the Balei HaSefer, whether the obvious Kodesh Matan Torah were yotzei to the Klal B'nei Noach. When did the Jewish people emerge? What status did Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankov and Shvatim have? Did they have the status of Jews, or did they have the status of non-Jews? So the Mishmar Melech quotes this machlokes between the Ramban and the Balei HaSefer. He claims that that's what they're fighting about. One could interpret it differently, but that's his interpretation of the machlokes. And then he has interpretations of Drushim and Psukim, because that was Machlokes Yosef and the brothers, whether they had the status of Bnei Noach or not. He has a lot of interpretations. One of the big Chassidish Rebbes said, when the Sefer Parashas Drushim was published, there was a big vitriol in the Bezer Shalmaim against the whole Kol Yisrael, that they're making great sonnets from the Torah. That was Machlokes Yosef and the brothers, that was Machlokes Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, and that was Machlokes Yitzchak and Yankov, everything. Everything, that's my place. All the Medrash clears. One of the big rabbis said, one of the early rabbis said, that the big kitchen in the Medrash Shalmaim against the Kali thought that they play games, they joke around and leave an answer, that they say pshetlach, that are not always gehal. They say from Abchaim Balazhin that he said like that, that whenever you find Medrash clear, you know that it's a third place. You don't have to break your head, you don't have to crack your head to figure out Pshat and Medishmi. If it doesn't make sense, there must be a mistake. That's why. The Tanoim and the Amoraim are not going to talk in such riddles. And if it looks like a riddle, it must be a mistake. There's a line missing, a paragraph missing. Anyway, so that's. So Mishnah Melech is known for those the first two essays, and then Seif, Kalash, and Zrach, and they keep on reprinting it every couple of years. People are still reading it. It's an interesting sefer. The other drushim are there. The other drushim are very interesting. About Doke, about Malchus Beis David, about Anidus, about other things. But the first two essays are about this issue. What status does the other side of Kedem Adam says? Do they have the status of Jews or the status of non-Jews? So Reitzik felt that the more correct position should be a compromise position. There are some Achleinim who suggest like that also. Not Rishayim, some Achleinim. He thought that it should be a compromise position, that Avraham Avinu had a mix of Kedushas Yisroel. Yitzchak had a little more Kedushas Yisroel, and Yankov had a little more, because the definition of Kedushas Yisroel means Kedushana b'mitzvah, so this is one. Whenever you speak of Kedusha, let's say you say Truma has Kedusha, what do you mean? Holy, holy. Shlomo Kavach always said, holy, holy, children, holy people, everything was holy. What does it mean, holy? Holy means Kedushana b'mitzvah. When you say Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha, what do you mean, how is holy? When you say the Mokma Mikdash is holy, you have special dinim that you can only do there that you can't do another place. Kohanim have Kedusha Kuna. They're holier than others. They have a dinim. They can eat Kuma. They can bring Korbanos and so on. Kedusha means Kedushana b'mitzvah. They're not communicable with dinim. There's no such holiness like in Hebrew. In modern Hebrew, there's an expression, Kedusha arti loyd. Naked, abstract Kedusha. We don't have any abstract Kedusha. Kedusha arti loyd. Kedusha means you have the mitzvah. You have the potential. You have the ability to do more. If you say that Avraham Avinu made a creature's brief with that Kaddish Baruch when he was endowed with the Kedusha Tisom, he said he was given a mitzvah that didn't exist before. And Yitzchak had a brief, meaning that he was endowed with more Kedusha Tisom, he had another mitzvah. And Yankov had another mitzvah.
I think it seems from the concept of a woman,
it could be the Kedusha is connected with the obligation to perform this, and then there's another Kedusha that's connected with the fulfillment of the mitzvah. That could be. But I don't think we have any concept of Kedusha that's separated from Kedushan and the Tzivah Tzivah, but the Tzivah is the moment doesn't observe, but he's obligated to accept. Probably not. Because they need the money. Now maybe Doron, the Talmud Chacham, the Shilu, may be Bikurim. That's another thing. Even if he doesn't need it, so when you're Masher, the Talmud Chacham, it's also Mitzvah. But I don't think that's my success. My success means the Talmud Chacham who needed to live on. I think so. The pasuk says in today's sedra, "The Beit Izarcha Kekolchi Hashemayim, Eikev Asher Shama Abraham Bekoli, VaYishmar Mishmati Nisosai Chukosai, Bistoro Osoi." The Rashi quotes in the Medrash to comment on this pasuk. VaYishmar Mishmati, Mishmati sounds like a shvut. Rashi refers you to the Gemara Yivam Zav Chafalo, but the Gemara comments on the other pasuk. Ushmaitem is Mishmati, Asu Mishmeret le Mishmati. That is the pasuk. Ushmaitem is Mishmati. Where is that in Achrei Moish? On Kedoshim, one of the two parshios. That is the pasuk that the Imam Yilamis quotes, which is the source of the authority of the Rabbanim to institute Gzeiras the Rabbanim. Rashi says Shniyas la'arayis. That's the context of the Gemara of the Yivam. Shniyas la'arayis or Shvus l'Shabbos. So the pasuk is telling us now, Yishmar Mishmati Avraham Avinu was even the kind of Gzeiras the Rabbanim. The Medrash says, even Erev Tavshilin, or even Erev Echatzeris. The question, what the Gears is, what kind of Erev? Even Erev Echatzeris or Erev Tavshilin? The Gears that we have said that even fulfilled Erev Echumen. Erev Tavshilin. Even fulfilled Erev Tavshilin. The question is, why did the Medrash pick on Erev Tavshilin? So he quotes the name of his own Megillah, that it's a mistake. It should, instead of saying Erev Echumen, Erev Tavshilin, And originally he said Erevet Chumen, and then they made it Rashi Tevis Ayin Tov, and then the printer spelled out Rashi Tevis wrong, and he wrote it as Erevet Tavshilim. Why Erevet Chumen? Because it says Ekev. Ekev means the heel of the foot that you walk with. So that's why they darshan. Ekev Rashi Shema Aram Vekoliva. Yishma Mishmati, the Mishmeres of the Ekev. The Mishmeres, the Xer the Rabbanim, that has to do with walking, namely the Erevet Chumen. That's what they quote from his Rabbanim. It doesn't make a difference whether it's this Xer the Rabbanim, that Xer the Rabbanim means that the Pasuk is telling us that even fulfilled the Xer the Rabbanim. Then the Pasuk continues that Avraham Avinu fulfilled everything, came out of Amen and Kol HaTel Kula Achala Nitna, even before it was given, even in Xer the Rabbanim. The story or story, what's the plural? Vavi Torah Shabbat Teh. Halacha L'Moshe Misina. That's where Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabba. But the Bereishis Rabba has more of an elaboration on this expression. So Rasai Torah Shabbat Teh, Torah Shabbat Teh, and then the Medrash has an elaboration. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they quote Sukkim from Eo. Medrash Rabba always quotes a lot of Sukkim from Eo and other places in Tanakh, not so popular. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mechadesh every day, Chidush Torah in the Bezim Shalmais. Every day comes up with something new. So Avraham Avinu was so astute, he could even figure out every day the new dinim. The new dinim they write that the Rebbe Shalom is being Mechadesh. Torah story includes the Torah Shabbat Peh, that's the ongoing Chidushim of the Torah Shabbat Peh, that the Rebbe Shalom is Mechadesh every day. That is interesting. There are a lot of great Talmid HaChamim who reach a certain point, reach a certain stage in development, but nay, that's it. They don't develop anymore. And there are others who are always bubbling, and every day they come up with new Chidushim, with new ideas. So Medrash praises, Medrash understands the Pasuk as being meramis to the fact that the Pasuk is praising Avraham Avinu, that he was very alert, and he could even pick up every day, the new Chidush Torah that the Rebbe Shalom is being Mechadesh. Somehow by looking into the Teva HaOilam, that's when the Medrash, yes, how did Avraham Avinu figure all of this out? How was he able to keep up and make a call to the Kulat Shalai Nisna if it wasn't given? The Medrash says somehow he had Kleris Yayasas, he could figure it out on his own. He could even figure out the Dinam de Rabbanan. He could figure out the changes in nature. The world is also changing apparently. Every time there's a din, so somehow if you look in the world with the right eyes, with the right glasses on, you can figure out what the dinim are. And every day the Rebbe Shalom is being the Chadash new dinim, so by looking at the Teva HaOlam, we should be able to figure out these new dinim. And you even see the dinim de Rabbanan in the world also. The dinim de Rabbanan are not stunned. The Tilpul in the Sibis and other Rabbanan, but the dinim de Rabbanan are only dinim on the Gavra, or they're really dinim in the Chesu also. So the Sibis has a Ramam in Hilchot Mechira. He says that in Issa Derayah, he says in Issa Chesu. And Issa Derabbanan, the maximum can only be in Issa Gavra. How can it be in Issa Chesu? How can they change a thing that's kosher, that it should be non-kosher, it should be traded? So these Midrashim seem to assume otherwise. They're saying that by looking into the Teva HaOlam, the world reflects. The world is a reflection of the whole of Torah, and even the Dinim Derabbanan also become part of this big scheme. All the Tikkun Rabban came to write the Tikkun, and the Dinim Natsam came to write, and it becomes a chelik of the Torah Shabbat Peh, and Dinat Torah. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. He spent many years, he used to give shiurim in Maria, that was a shul that closed down in mid-Manhattan. It used to be a shul on 80th Street in Broadway. He used to give a shiur every Tuesday night there for years and years in this. I think he spent 11 years running Drachas, if I'm not mistaken. And he spent quite a few years running Megillah. So he once made a comment. You mean to say that all of those years were only Talmud Torah on a level of the Rabbanah? We were learning about Drachas and Megillah, and on the level of the right, it was Bittul Torah. So he says that we should have learned Drachas and Menachas, where there hardly any deen of the Rabbanah would have had more Talmud Torah on the level of the right. So why only be satisfied with Talmud Torah on the level of the Rabbanah? He said he doesn't think that that's correct. He thinks that once the Chachamim instituted din de Rabbanon, true that Chavis Agavis to observe that din is only the Rabbanon, but it becomes a chelik of Torah Shmaltea on the level of their right, and the one who learns those dinim is in fulfillment of a mitzvah Talmud Torah on the level of their right. One can ask, how is that possible to imagine such a thing? That something constitutes a heft of her on the level of their right, just to the extent that if you learn it, you're in fulfillment of the mitzvah Talmud Torah, the right, but the obligation to perform it is only the Rabbanon. Isn't that a contradiction in terms? So he said, no. You see from Shittas Beis Shammai, the Gemara says Beis Shammai, but Mokum Yisrael Leida Mishnah, we don't follow Beis Shammai's opinion at all, and you can't even be Mitzarefit, the Sophic Olav Chutzloret, you can't be Mitzarefit even Mishat HaTzak, you don't rely on Beis Shammai, not at all, Ein HaMishnah, and Mokum Beis Shammai, Mokum Yisrael Leida Mishnah, and nonetheless, the Gemara says that Eilu Yehra Dimini Kim Chatzah, when you learn the opinions of Beis Shammai, one is in fulfillment of the Mitzvah Talmud Torah, there are many Sugyas in the Gemara, and different Mitzvahs which are discussed at length, my time to Beis Shammai. just learned the other day, a whole sugi in Kiddushin, a whole Daf Gemara, and Daf Yud, and Daf Yiravah, a whole Blat Gemara, the Gemara gives four pshat in the Day Shammai. What's the difference? We don't talk about Day Shammai anyway. So the answer is, when you learn Shikas Day Shammai, there is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You see that something can qualify as a Chepka Shal Torah, that if you learn it, you have fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Even if there's zero Chavis HaGavit, you're not allowed to follow that opinion. Absolutely don't talk like the Day Shammai. Here also by the Din of the Rabbanon, so they thought that this should be such a thing as well. That the Din of the Rabbanon become a chelik of the Torah Shofer on the level of the Raitse, and one who learns the Din of the Rabbanon, he thought should be in fulfillment of the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the level of the Raitse. Here you see from the Medrash even more than that. It becomes mamsh a chelik of the whole chepta of Torah, and it becomes reflected in the Teva Ha'olam. If a person looks at the world and he has the ability to figure out what the Din of the Raitse are, they'll be able to notice the Dinam Darabon also. They'll be able to notice the new Dinam Darait, that the Rabban Shalom is Mechadish every day in the Bezen Shomayim. That's how the Medrash understands on this topic. The Medrash makes the comment on this topic. Rashi quotes part of the Medrash, talks it later and tells us, "Ahi Eitav b'Rabbayim Sham Vekachisha Et Yehudas Bazberi Hachiti." Eitav gets married at the age of 40. Why does he get married at the age of 40? Like his father got married at the age of 40, he follows in the footsteps of his father. There's only one difference, Rashi quotes in the Medrash. His father was a holy tzaddik, he wasn't running around with girls before the age of 40. This guy had every girl in creation he was sleeping with. And then he decides to get married to two wives at the age of 40. There's a big difference, that he makes believe that he's following everything from his father. So Rashi quotes, this is all the Medrash. There's a common theme in the Medrash. Is a pasuk in Tehillim. So Eitav is nimshal to a chazir. This is a common expression that appears in the Gemara and in the Medrash in many places. They use the term chazir, and they're not referring to a pig. They're referring to a Christian. The Christians are called a chazir. The Medrash says, "Lama dikishmai chazir, shalter HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael." That was a Medrash that a big debate in the days of the Rishonim about that. What do you do with that Medrash? Some Rishonim understood the Medrash literally. That why is the pig called chazir? Because Lassi Lava will be allowed to eat pork. Just hang on, wait in a little longer, and when Mashiach comes, all the dinim of the Torah will change and be allowed to eat chazir. So the question is, what are you talking about? But the Rambam writes, "The nidger and amunas." That's what tells us in Mochlemus. So let's start a chaz neis abari is b'oshmai. The Rambam writes, "One of the yidkim alikra amunas." That the dinim of the Torah will never change. So the Rishonim have a big discussion about this. If you look, when they put the cheirim on the study of the Mari Neruchim, and all correspondence back and forth from Marseille, and the Meiri was involved, and the Rajbo was involved, and the Rush was involved. These were all contemporaries. They were writing letters to each other about this cheirim that the Bali Atesis name. So then in the middle of the whole discussion, they wrote, what is it called? There's a separate sefer. What is it called? Divrei Kenos? Minchas Kenos. Minchas Kenos. They have a collection of all of the letters that the Rishonim wrote, most of the letters. So in the middle of the Minchas Kenos, they have a section discussing this Medrash. What in the world does this Medrash mean? So the Rishonim came to the conclusion, it has nothing to do with pork. Chazir means the Christians. It means the Roman government. It means, why is Esav called Chazir? Because they're going to rule the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Hayadam Dei Esav, the Christians are going to rule a good part of the world. And then, Yodo Chazir Bakev Esav. The Pasuk says that when they were twins, before they were born, when they came out, Yanka was holding on to the heel of Esav. What does that what idea does that represent? So the letter says the idea that's represented by that is that after the Christians will have a Mapala, the Jews will take over the world. The Jews will rule the world. That's what it means. Why did he call the Christians Chazir? The Rabban Shalom ultimately, in the end of history, will give back ruling of the world to the Jewish people. We will take it away from the Christians. Here the Medrash has another comment. Why do we call the Christians Chazir? Because just like there are two simonim to identify whether any given animal is kosher or treif. One is malager, one is mafis parsa. So the Torah singles out several animals that have one sin entire without the other. One of those animals is Chazir. And the Pasuk says, even though it's Mafis Parsa, but it's not Malagir. So Rashi quotes for the Medrash that Azir wants to demonstrate how kosher he is. So he sticks out his talafine, he stretches out his feet, and he says, look, I'm kosher, Rush Ani Tahor. look, I'm a kosher animal. But if you look a little more carefully, you see that he's not malager, so he's not kosher. So too, he says, the Christians have imitated the Jewish religion. They made all of their mitzvahs pattern after the Jewish religion. They claim that it's a twin religion, that it's a Judeo-Christian heritage, that they have a shaykhus with each other. So it has a shaykhus, like the Rambam writes in his Igeres Hashmas, one of his letters, he says, it's a movie that had this, the way a guy was running away from, this movie must have been 40 years ago, before you people were born. I remember when I went to the movie, some kind of movie where a guy's running away from the police or something, and runs into a wax museum, and they have these statues standing, so he stands still in the middle of all the statues, and they're looking, they can't tell, they're all statues, they can't tell the difference. But the Rambam says, if you have a human being standing next to a statue, you have to be an idiot, you have to be a moron, not, you can't tell, this is a human being, this is a statue. Some of the movie was they made better statues than those in the days of Rome. They said, what's over here? These Christians claim that they have the true religion. It's not like looking at a, like looking at the human being next to a statue. This is a real, you pinch it, it's going to sneeze, it's going to hurt, it's going to squeeze. The statue, nothing will happen. So he says, what? How can you compare a real religion with a fake religion? This is for real and this is nothing. So that's what the Midrashim keep on referring to Esau, the Christian, the twins, Jacob and Esau were twins. But the Christians claim to be the twin religion from the Jewish people. They say that the Jews were rejected because they didn't accept those Tahuish. They are the real Jewish people. Just like it says in the Haftarah, this is Sedra, as it says. The face of Sanasi. The face of Sanasi. So they say everything the reverse, that the Rabban Shalom hates the Jewish people and he chose the Christians as the real Jewish people. From the twins, he picked up. So that's why the Midrashim always refer to Esau as the Hazir, the one who claims to be kosher, and he shows that he has everything, the imitation religion. He has all the simanim of kashrus, and the whole thing is a bluff. The thing is that we do the same. Among the Orthodox group, we do the same thing. You all claim to be religious, people traveling with the talus over their head, and then when they go to business, they cheat in business, and then they cheat on their wives, and then no one's watching, they'll eat and shape a restaurant, and they do all kinds of things that are not permissible. But when we're in public, so we put on the act, like the Hazir. He stretches out his feet and he claims to be kosher. A lot of tzibuim in this world. One is a faker, it's called Hazir. One is imitating something that he really isn't, this scholar Hazir. This week's Sedra has the Parashas Nedarim, the Yidl Nechol Ho'elehim, Nital HaShemayim, and Yishmani Ha'oretz. It's called in Shulchan Aruch, Parashas Nedarim. The Ramoa writes in Hilchot Simchat Torah, that Aveil Simchat Torah, the meaning is in many shuls that they lane. Nikar Adin, you don't lane. The meaning that's shrouded in mystery. I don't know exactly what it's based on. Make a new is they don't lane. Arayam Azim. And exactly what he is supposed to lay now. The Altim Chasera said, the Ramah says that there are some communities where they lay in Parshas Nedarim. What is Parshas Nedarim? And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Bikurei Yankiv by the Orach Laner. His first Sefer that he wrote, his name was Yankiv. So the first Sefer he wrote, he called Bikurei Yankiv. It's on Hilchot Sukkim, Hilchot Lulav, Hilchot Sukkim. So he says he once visited a community and he saw that Aleil from Chasera, they took out a Sefer Torah and they were laying Parshas Matos, Parshas Nedarim. He thought that that's what the Ramah says. So he says that that's ridiculous. Why should you mean Parshas Matos on from Chasera? So he says, no, that's not what it means. Parshas Dar means some Chassidish Yishtikla, they do that today. They lay both Parshias, they give you the three or five Aliyahs on Leil from Chasera, but they don't lay the Zot HaBracha. They rather lay from different sections of the Chumash those Aliyahs that people usually bid money in order to pay money in order to give another money to the Shul to get that Aliyah. They want to get that Aliyah. One of them is Yitl Nechol. And as you go by, the Birchas Yaakov, the Parshas Vayechi. I remember once I was in a Chassidish Yeshivah on some Chasera night. So they needed a Balkari who knew the whole Kolot HaRekulim because they were going to give, every Aliyah was going to be from another place and nobody was prepared. So I remember my Chavrusa knew all the trap out there. So he was the Balkari. So he left again. So this is one of the Yitl Nechol is the Parshas Nedarim. That's the Mishnah Berurah quote. That's one of the Parshas that's called Parshas Nedarim. The Rishayna mentioned the minhag to recite the Yitl Nechol Matzoi Shabbat. It's based on the Midrashim that the longer the Bnei Yisrael stay in Shul before they recite the official Havdalah in Shul, so the longer the Neshama stay out of Gehenna. The Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin that when the Sefer HaRasha had debate with Rabbi Akiva about the Jewish religion, they never understood why the Jews keep Shabbat. Doesn't make any sense. My yom yom mayim. What's the difference between his day and all the other days? Rabbi Akiva said to him, Ma gever mi guven, what's the difference between you and everybody else? And you hold that you're the king, you're the emperor, and the other's not. There's a difference between one person. You look, you take off your clothes, you wear the emperor's clothes, you look different. When you take off your clothes, you look the same as everybody else. So even though Shabbos looks the same as the other days, it's a very different day. He proved it. He said, let's go to your father's grave. So they went to the father's grave. And the Gemara implies that all week long smoke came out of the grave indicating that he was burning in Gehenna. He was a Tumas Rufus, was a Rosh, his father was a Rosh, his grandfather was a Rosh, they had a family tradition. All week long smoke was coming out of the grave indicating that he's burning in Gehenna. Now on Shabbos the smoke didn't come out of the grave. Interesting. But not only the Jews don't burn in Gehenna on Shabbos, even the Goyim don't burn in Gehenna on Shabbos. That's what it says in the Gemara. There is a person, one of the Chassidim, not a Chassidim, one of the Kabbalah Sefer, if you have to say to him, I say, Hashem is quoted, one of the Kabbalah Sefer that says, comment on the Mishnah and Shabbat, the Mishnah says in Terekira, Kol HaNeris Mitaltal Nim Shabbat, Chutz Min HaNer HaDevet B'Shabbat, that if you have a candlestick that you lit in on Shabbat, and the candlestick becomes a button from Shabbat, so the candlestick is mukta. But if you didn't light it on Shabbos, then the candlestick maximum is only going to be a klish malach deliyisur, but it won't be a mukta, it won't be button Shabbat. So then, klish malach deliyisur, sometimes you can move this, goofle this up and karma. But if you lit it on Shabbos, then it becomes a button, and even after the lights go out, even after the flame goes out, it remains nigdus kasarid on Shabbos. So the tchidos on Shabbos remains mukta the whole Shabbos. So that's the simple reading of the Mishnah. So Rabbi Yisrael, of course, in some Kabbalah Sefer, he interprets the Mishnah that Ner Hashem Nishmah Sarim, that the Mishnah is alluding, is meramed to the fact that the Nishamas are removed from Gehenna. Kol HaNeris Mitaltal in Shabbos, all the Nishamas go out of Gehenna on Shabbos, except for the Ner HaDevet Shabbos. That person who was Mechal Shabbos during his lifetime, so he continues to burn in Gehenna even on Shabbos after he died. He never came on this Yalcom for Shabbos. He never helped him Shabbos, but he's going to burn Gehenim after he dies, even on Shabbos. If there's a single kindness against him, what's with the Gemara by Tunis Rufus, his father? Tunis Rufus, his father wasn't Hashem in Shabbos, and nonetheless, his Neshama didn't burn Gehenim. He says, unless he'll be Mechalik, that if it's a Jew who is Mechal Shabbos, then we punish him, that he burns his Gehenim even on Shabbos. A great didn't have to be Mechal. A great didn't have to keep Shabbos, but then we give him a break. So if he dies, we don't leave him in Gehenim. Now, come on, that's a detailed question. Exactly, who doesn't burn a Gehenim on Shabbos? Who does burn, who doesn't burn? But the Gemara says there's such an idea that the Neshamas leave Gehenim for Shabbos and then they go back after Shabbos. So when do they go back? So that's what the Gaonim had a tradition that the longer we extend Shabbos, the longer the Neshamas have a break. The longer you march the Shabbos lachreah, so the longer the Neshamas have a break, they don't go back again. So that's why they instituted the reciting of the Hinoyim and the Afa Kodesh and the Yitzlokor. We say the Tzukum of the Yitzlokor as a Simen Bracha for the beginning of the week. But why such a long arichet? To give the neshamas a break. It's interesting, many Rishonim had a practice that they said a bracha, like we say at the end of the Hal Yehalelucha, Melech Mehula Batish Bracha, so we say at the end of the Sukkot and Zimra, we say Yishtabach, and we say bracha. But many of the Rishonim had a practice that they said Melech Mehula Batish Bracha at the end of the Yitzlacha. Yeshiva, they don't say it all. Yeshiva, they don't say it all. They wait so late to daven, and the yeshiva is usually in the Lithuanian yeshiva. And the other yeshivas, they do say Yitzlachon. The Lithuanian yeshiva, they assume that they're ready, Mike, Mechor Allah Kodesh Genuk. They don't begin to daven Myriad until after all the Balabatim already finished paying Abdullah, so we don't have to say any of the Yitzlachon. But some Rishonim not only said Yitzlachon, they said a bracha after also. The Shemari Alekhet, and others, a lot of Rishonim quotes, Master Vitrium. A lot of those Rishonim that we, in the yeshivas, we don't never look at, but the library, they have them. At least 10 Rishonim talk about this issue, but they say this bracha or not. Balak Mahul about this bracha, it's at the end of the Yisrael Chama, it's very
Shams. There's a point between the Menah of Shabbos,
perhaps Yisrael Chayel, it's already after Hatzah Chantan. He said Hatzah Chantan, but the Chazan didn't say the official Hatzah
Chantan. There's a quote.
Now there's a quote. For the Shabbos who are out of Gehenna, yeah. So the official Havdalah and Shul is what counts. If I'm not mistaken, the very first Shilta Aleph, quotes this tradition. He had many sources in the Gaonim, in the literature of the Gaonim, where they say like that. And that's the basic reason why they introduced everything on Masai Shabbat. You know, I remember Yitzmachar, everything was based on it. The Nesiv has a comment on this week's Sedra. that the shtick that Yankis cheated Esav of the bracha, he tricked him and he fooled him, and Esav felt very bad about it. He was crying. Why he's up? How does it say? He was crying. But he says the color by Yek. So the two quotes in Medrash that the Jewish people had to suffer because of this, and the kapara came in the days of Matzah the Esther, when it says that when Matzah heard about the Gzeirah to wipe out all the Jewish people, they said, "Oh, the Bayit of Zachar the Morah." That was the kapara. What do you mean? What do we need a kapara for? Sid has his comment, which is really based on Gemara. He says sometimes we have a case of Esther Dechaloisa. Sometimes they don't, when it doesn't correspond to the rules and regulations of Esther Dechaloisa, so sometimes you have another clause of Chatei Bishul Shetiskir. That's what the Gemara has. That, as the Mishnah says, in the end of Brachas, it says that they were matter, they allowed the people to be shor b'shem chaver b'shem. As the Pasuk says, what does it mean? Sometimes in order to fulfill the mitzvah, we allow you to be made for the terrorist. At the end, justify the means. You're not allowed to steal money from the government in order to establish a yeshiva. There the ends do not justify the means. But in rare instances, we say, chatei b'shul shetiske, or in very rare instances, we allow you chatei b'shul shetiske chadeach, that a person should do Nichalei lehav zimar tei aloshen and gimtein eres. Nichalei lechav of celebrity through zutra. We recommend that tamachav we should do a slight of area in order that the amor should not violate his sura rabba. In very rare instances we allow that. But the mitzvah claims that in such a case you have to have a kapar. The Gemara has such an example in the beginning of Tainus. Let's say a person had a terrible dream on Friday night. So the Gemara says you should fast the Tainus chaloyim on Shabbat. When you fast the Tainus Chaloyim on Shabbat, you have no choice, you have to fast on Shabbat. But then when you fast on Shabbat, that itself is an aver. So the Gemara says, so if we make the Tainus with Tainus, you have to fast on Sunday, is a kapar for having fasted on Shabbat. So Tainus is fast Manusha. Tainus is in the beginning of Tainus, that based on Beit is Manusha. If he's doing an aver by fasting, so let him not fast on Shabbat. Then Lamai says, you have to fast, why do you need a kapar? So Tainus says, we find cases like that, like, we sometimes recommend to a person that he should accept upon himself a netted nazir, even though he will be nimna from having hanoas olam azeh, and we say that a nazir is a chaytay. Nonetheless, he's a chaytay, but still, and he needs a kapora for having done the chet, but we still say that this chet is worth it. It's a madrega of chatei b'shul shetiskeh. We recommend the person should do an isura zuta in order to gain something in ruchni. It's not the mechal Shabbos a little bit, you make a lot of money. That's not what we're talking about. It's going to do it right out there in Ruchnius in order to gain a lot in Ruchnius, in the same area. In Ruchnius, we say like that. So it's not, I guess, a Dechal Eisefa like the Kroch Nevesh. We don't have to have any kapara at all for having done Yaver. That was Mamish Musa. But he held that the Kroch Nevesh is the Chuya, which does make a difference. Halacha Maisa is Hetagoma. Bottom line is Hetagoma. You don't need a kapara. But when you're doing something based on the principle of these rare instances, Chaseh B'Shul Shetiske, so then you do need a kapara for having violated the avera. Not only do you need a kapara, then it's in bad zan. The Gemara says, "Gvel avera l'shma, ki mitzvah shelo l'shma." The avera in this case has to be done l'shma. Under normal circumstances, you don't have to do all the mitzvahs l'shma. You know what I'm saying? Do l'shma, you have more reward. But if you do shelo l'shma, it's also a kima mitzvah. But here, if the person is doing an avera l'shma, it's like l'shma avera teretzecha, chasei b'shul shetitzke, it has to be done l'shma. If there's a little ounce of Shavuot Shema, then there's no hetter to begin with. So that's what the Nitzin suggests, that maybe, he didn't even have to say this, but he has it on. Maybe when Esav was crying, when he heard that the brother had cheated him and stolen the brother, then maybe Yankov had a little hanoah from that. Maybe he had a little personal hanoah at that time. So that was the Tegim and the Aver Shema. That was that part of the Aver was very a little bit Shavuot Shema. He had personal hanoah over the fact that Esav was an infinite desire. So that we sure needed a kapara, but even without that, even if there wouldn't have been a pegima in the Aveir Lishma, in the doing of the Aveir Lishma, then it still shows to the Gemara that whenever you do chasei b'shul shetiskeh, you're going to need a kapara, you will require a kapara having done the chet, because there really was no chet. But Rashi has an interesting comment on the pasuk. Yaakov Avinu, when he finds out what happens, he says, okay, Gambaruch Yiyah. Okay, so that's the bracha of his name. Even though I thought I was giving the bracha to Esav, and the first thing he has to Yaakov, Gambaruch Yiyah, let the bracha be chal. What prompted Yitzchak to say that Gambaruch Yiyah? So Rashi quotes in the Medrash what prompted it. When Esav heard what happened, he says, hey, this is the second time he cheated me. The first time he stole the brother from me, fooled me. So the father said, what happened? So he explained. He said, oh, Gam Baruch Yiyah. So he bought the b'cheres. He deserved the brother. That's what Rashi quotes in the marriage. The Gam Baruch Yiyah was the response to what Esav said by Yaksen is Zeph Amayim. So when Yitzchak heard what happened, so he said, so then it's right, there's nothing wrong. But in the Pesukim, it's not written like that. In the Pesukim, it's out of order. Gam Baruch Yiyah is in part of Islam and Gimel and Perek Chabzayim. And the Yaksen is Zeph Amayim is B'chayot Yimata V'niyata V'lok HaSuch HaZeth and Lam Yivot. That's a huge Pesukim later. So the answer is, the Medrash apparently was Medayit. Some of portion of the Medrash Medayit that when Yitzchak is speaking, he says, Vayom Ala Yitzchak Kavi, then Yitzchak talks and he says, and then he says, Vayomer, how is it saying? No. When Esav is speaking. When Esav is speaking, it says twice. In Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says, Vayomer hachi kor shma Yaakov ben Esav amayim v'secherot yilot v'nei atav v'kav v'chot v'yomer halot v'alkal v'drocho. In the same Pasuk Lamed Vav, it says twice Vayomer. First it says Vayomer, then it says Vayomer. It says twice. Why is it twice? Esav keeps on talking. So the Medrash understood that Jesus said it two different times. But Yaksen Zeph HaMayim was said earlier, and the Gam Baruch Yiyah was a response to that. Vayomer halot v'alkal v'drocho is what he said after Yitzchak said Gam Baruch Yiyah, and then Esav said, so give me another bracha, give me another bracha anyway. The vehicle of the Medrash perhaps was, the Medrash doesn't explain where they get this from, that the Pesukim about it was. The vehicle perhaps was from the fact that it says that you're on it twice and called the drum and ball to indicate that they said it two different times. Some of the Mekoshim and the Medrash comment that the Medrash claims that this all occurred on Leil Pesach. This all story occurred on, because Yitzchak tells Yaakov, Lech no la'atzon kakhe shnei he even told him, and Rashi says one was for the Korban Pesach, one was for the Korban Chagigah, so it was Leil Pesach. And that's what the Pesach says, that Yaakov brings Vayovel Ayayin Vayesh, he brought him Yayin. He didn't ask for Yayin in the first place, it was Leil Pesach, he had one time the Pesach, so he had to bring the one. But from that on, that's what Esav got so angry, when he found out that not only did Yaakov give the father the whole meal, he gave him that claimant also. So he can't even eat from my seder. He says, have a little bit. He says, sorry, your brother already gave me apiklemen, so I can't even eat now. That's already later commentaries on the Medrashah. No, he doesn't say that. That's what the later Mechavim writes, that the Yahweh that he brought him was because of his seder, he wanted to give him apiklemen. And then he says, have some amount. He says, too late, I already ate the apiklemen. Could eat again, according to some, yeah. The last passage in the parasha tells about Esav's wonderful shidduchim. He marries a girl, Machlat Bat Yishma Ben Avraham, Achoret Zavoyim. They quote the name of the Maril Diskin that there seem to be clearly two different traditions whether it's pronounced the name Machlat or Machlat with a comma or a patach under the mem. So the Maril Diskin claims that the two traditions appear in the Medrash already. That there's the Yerushalmi and Bikurim that Rashi quotes later. Shalmi Bikurim says that why is she called Mochalat? That when the Shloisha people who are in Mechalim Avon Yisem, the three people who get in Mechalim Avon Yisem, one is a person who gets married in Mechalim Avon Yisem, that's when Esav got married. So she's called, her real name is not Mochalat, but we give her a nickname Mochalat because of Mechalim Avon Yisem. One is Oyla Magdila, and not ever, I guess we got Mizdik again. And a Tamachachm gets Micha, something like that. He's one of the three people who get Mechilat Avon. And the other Medrash that Rashi quotes on this Pasuk says that the name Machlat also nickname, Rashi writes, Hosef Isha al Rishasar, Shalogir Shesha Rishonim. So why does the Medrash use the expression he's married another Mashat in addition to the wicked wife that he had before? He was a Mashmat, but she was a wicked wife. So my religion says they must have understood it from the name Machlat, the Russian Machlat. Machlat is sickness. So that Russia, that comment of the Medrash must have had the meaning Machlat, with a tata. And the Yerushalmi and Bikurim that comment that when one gets mad, he gets Mechila Tamar, it must have had a reading Bachla for the comment. That's why there are some who are Makhta to read it twice. It's the very last topic. They read it for Shvi, they read it for Makhta. Some read it once for the comment, once for the tata. But in the Svarim on the Chumash, they quote these two traditions, whether the correct pronunciation is a comment or a tata. Interesting, one of the Svarim where they write about the meal being the Korban Pesach, someone points out, it's interesting, when Yankov Avinu comes to the father, he says, Shavon Avi Ochlam is paid, when Esau comes, he says, Yochlam Avi Ochlam is paid, no, get up and eat. When Yankov came, he doesn't say like that. He says, Shavon Avi, sit and eat. How come Yankov says he should sit? Shlomi Yochlam is paid to eat. Because he was giving the father the Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach has to be eaten to have Seder. Not only Korban Pesach, Halacha says that all Korbanos have to be eaten the Mashal L'Gedulah Be'asham Lachem Lachem. The Gemara says that all Matnas Kehuna should be eaten, even Truma. All Matnas Kehuna should be eaten. Anin Nasaita Lechem L'Mashcha. And the Gemara comes to Mashal L'Gedulah Be'asham Lachem Lachem. But all Korbanos, even that Matnas Kehuna have to be eaten the Mashal L'Gedulah. That's why Tesis has 2 days. The Mishlah Melech quotes, we don't have both days in Tesis, but the Mishlah Melech quotes, Tesis has 2 days, about Kohanim eating the star chat of the Oshnam. It can only be eaten in the Azura. It can't be eaten in Chutzpah Azura. It's such a question. And there's a cloud, any Yeshiva Bazura, Ere Malchim Beis David Bozat. One is not a descendant from the Malchim Beis David, not allowed to assist in the Azura. So how did the Kohanim eat, let's say, the Lechem Apon Mosca on the Shiva Menachos, and the Chakos and the Yoshim, they ate it standing. They used to stand. The Gemara says, stomach gets them. It's unhealthy to eat, while, eat or drink while you stand. And it's not the Kovetic. It's not the Kovetic. That's called Mashal of Duba. So one day in Tyson says, no, well, that's rare. You have no choice. You have to stand when you eat. But I can only eat in the Azar. And you should have Azar. The other day in Tyson says, no. That since they're sitting for the sake of fulfillment of the mitzvah, the Mashal of Duba, so the Kohanim were permitted to eat, the Hakanim were permitted to sit in the Azar. 2 days in Tyson. So there was a habit to sit in the Azar and eat. But Yosef Engel has in the first Simon in Aspen the Arayta and Einfeld. He works out a whole occasion that there were lishkas, he has a lot about this thing, but the lishkas of Nes Bachol of Tuchat Lakodesh. There were side rooms around the Azara, which were built on an area that did not have Kedushas Azara, but opened only into the Azara. There was no entranceway from the outside. So the Mishnah says that those lishkas have Mishnah Makashani. The lishkas of Nes Bachol of Tuchat Lakodesh